There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Monday. Glad to have you along. It is for the city of Mobile, Pritchard, and some other municipalities here. It is runoff election day eve. We'll talk more about that coming up. Actually, we'll talk about it with our first guest this hour, and we'll bring him on in just a second. Also in hour number two, joined by Ivan Maisel. It's been a long time since Ivan and I got together. He's got a new book out, and we'll talk about that with him in the 1 o'clock hour. Now, without further delay, because the man, he is very, very busy, and it's always good to get him on. You know him, you see him. You see him on Capital Journal. You read him in Alabama Daily News, and you hear him here on the radio. It's Todd Stacey. Hey, man.
Hey, Sean. How's it going?
Good. I mean, what have you not done? Have you done film? Any film work?
We did a documentary when I was in Congress, but it was not for the silver screen. It was for the small screen.
Okay, well, it's something. Okay, so he's in almost every media expression.
You get, the only reason I say that, it's not braggadocious. Like, for some reason, everybody that was in that documentary got an IMDb credit. You know what I'm talking about?
I do.
Like the, International Movie Database.
I do.
And so it's the most random thing in the world. But it's like, okay, I've got a credit, a cast credit.
I was killed twice in the same movie, and I don't have an IMDb. So,
oh man, I think you could probably go make it.
I need to do that. I mean, one time they even used that squib pack that blows the blood out and all that stuff. It was cool. Geez. Yeah, I was like 19. I thought it was the coolest thing I'd ever seen. All right, lot to talk about here, and yeah, I mentioned it here. You know, Mobile and elsewhere, runoff. Election day, Mobile has a lot of talk right now, and you know who's going to turn out, how many are going to turn out. That's kind of the discussion at this point. And I don't know, you know, we see that runoff elections just do not have the turnout that a general or in this case municipal general will have. I don't know if that's just here in Southwest Alabama or that's elsewhere in the state.
I think it's pretty much everywhere, unless there's a issue that is really just generating a lot of, you know, people to just turn out, which doesn't seem like that's the case to me. This is just, you know, as an outsider looking in, it kind of looks like it's just a decision to, you know, where's the city going to go next, right? We've been in the Stimson era for quite a while, I think, for the most part.
Yeah,
I mean, that just seems like an incredibly positive time for the city of Mobile. He can't be mayor forever, so where do you go next? And but Mobile is just so hard to predict. It's hard to predict in statewide elections when we're waiting on those boxes down there. You know, who's, because Mobile tends to be late reporting, and it can be kind of the it can kind of tip a race. So it's tough for me to try to handicap this thing. Could be anybody's ball game. Some endorsements late and all that kind of stuff, but who knows what is motivating folks to get out? It'll be upon, incumbent upon campaigns to get their voters out. They know who they need. So you've got a job to do to get those folks out. One thing I'll say, though, Sean, is in the last congressional election, Barry Moore versus Jerry Carl, I did have a sense that some people woke up the next day and were surprised that their congressman was no longer going to be their congressman, and maybe those folks didn't vote. And so you know, perhaps that was a wake-up call to some of those.
You know, I think about it here, like in, so there were, you know, four going into the election here, the municipal election for Mobile's mayor, and the two that didn't win or didn't end up making the runoff, so Connie Hudson and Paul Prime, I do wonder if they're, you know, how much of it is civic engagement and how much of it is voting for a person. You follow, like how many of those people will say, well, I was there because I wanted this person. Now that this person's not there, they disengage. I hope it's not many, but, you know, I do wonder.
Probably a little bit of both. But again, if your person didn't win, you know, didn't make it into the runoff, then yeah, you're naturally going to be a little less motivated to get out, because there's always the friends and family factor, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're always going to have voters that come out that normally don't vote at all, but hey, I know Connie, you know, or I know Paul. And yeah, you may not want, I mean, those folks may be less likely to come back out, but it's, you know, if you are, you know, the remaining campaigns, those voters, they've already voted once. So they're more likely to vote than people who didn't vote already. So there's my universe right there. I'm going to them, especially if I'm Spiro. I'm going to them and, you know, messaging them, you know, getting multiple touches in terms of multiple forms of contact. I'm knocking on their door saying, we need you to get back out, because they're, at least they've shown an interest in that civic engagement like you talked about. Whereas if you didn't vote the first time, it's a high bar to try to get you to vote the second time.
Which is, by the way, something that, you know, I have had this question. I'll probably get this question today because they get confused, you know, with it being Alabama and being not a partisan election, right? So not having it like a primary. So even if you didn't vote in the initial municipal election in Alabama, and maybe it's just for here, I think it's the entire state, yeah, you can come out and vote in the runoff.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's the great thing about it is if you
say you missed it last month, right? You missed it. You didn't make whatever. You didn't make it. You can still come out and vote tomorrow if you're a registered voter and all that.
Right. The only way that statute matters is in a partisan race. And if you voted in a Democratic primary, you can't then go and turn around and vote in a Republican runoff. That's really the only way it matters. And that is so rare. Now, it used to happen a lot more, you know, back when, you know, there was all these fights between Republicans and the AEA, and, you know, the AEA knew that they could get their voters out and things, mm-hmm. things like that. But I see that, first of all, it's not a factor in this race. I mean, if you voted, no matter who you voted for the first time, you can vote again the second time. It was just the whole, you know, if you voted in a Democratic primary, you can't then turn around and vote in a Republican runoff. That's the only thing that you can't do, but that's not an issue in this race.
No, indeed it's not. Let's talk about you write about it over at Alabama Daily News as well, the turnout for the Charlie Kirk Memorial. That was something. And I, you know, I talked about it at the end of last hour about his widow's, you know, I mean, you weren't talking about, you would have get the essence of Christianity. She was it.
Oh, man. And I mean, it was a really moving service. I didn't watch all of it. The whole thing lasted 5 hours, but I did get some of it, including that, his widow, Erica Kirk. That is, it was very moving, mm-hmm. and something that I did not expect to see. And just what an incredibly poignant example, like you said, of the Christian faith that really doesn't get explored in public all that often, Sean. And just the turnout, I don't think the numbers are official, but I've seen, you know, upwards of 80, 90 million people tuning in. That's like Super Bowl numbers, yeah. Or even more.
Super Bowl is like, what, 60 or so? Yeah, that is more.
Maybe, yeah. Especially when you're just counting Americans. And so that is significant. You saw the stadium fill up. I think there were still people waiting outside. This is not some kind of blip on the radar. Something's happening. And it's hard to kind of put your finger on it. But the one thing I can say is that just watching some of that last night, seeing some of what's happened in the 10 or 15 days since the assassination and just in the wake of it, is that there has been some kind of awakening. A lot of that's spiritual, and I think that's awesome. I think that's, especially amongst young people, I think that's really encouraging to see. But the, at the very least, you can say it's been productive and not violent. You haven't seen, I think she actually mentioned that. She, you know, there haven't been riots. There haven't been looting. You know, it's been a sad but peaceful mourning process. And I don't know, there's something going on here. It's hard to put our finger on, but there seems to be some kind of movement building, and it doesn't seem to be going anywhere.
Yeah, it's it would have watched this if this was one of those, you know, pun intended, I guess, turning point moments out there going forward. Hey, and last thing here before we wrap up, I saw you posted something on Twitter, and I thought that, so me as a graduate of the University of Alabama, but proud to have Auburn football on this radio station all these years, and listening to our broadcast on Saturday, I know that it's interesting to like get a set of glasses for referees or send them a prescription for glasses or something like that, but that was some horrible call. And it's not, I'm not Andy Burcham saying it. This is Sean. Yeah. And then you posted up, I guess the SEC has actually said that was a screw up.
Yeah. Well,
wow.
Well, only for one of them. So,
yeah, I mean, not the other 12, but.
And look, referees make bad calls every game. Everybody has a holding call that they wish they didn't have, or a pass interference or something like that. But rarely, if ever, are there calls that absolutely impact the outcome of the game and they blow it. One was a pretty obvious fumble that was returned for a touchdown. That one got called right on the field and they overturned it, which is just inexplicable. I don't know how you have, you know, there's conclusive evidence of that. That was just pretty obvious. That's a touchdown, right? Took it away. The other one was also a touchdown for Oklahoma that was a deceptive play. It's illegal. It should have been called a unsportsmanlike line of conduct. And that was the one that the SEC came in later and said, yep, whoops, we screwed this up. Shouldn't have been a touchdown. We'll fix it later. That's a 14-point swing.
Yep.
To say nothing of how it just changes the flow of the game. So, and really you could say it's a 17-point swing because that's what Oklahoma got with that. So, yeah, it's atrocious officiating. It's sad to see. Every game we see bad calls. You rarely see them where it's like, man, that cost them the game.
Yep.
And it really did.
Yeah, and to see that the SEC actually does a mea culpa, that is a rarity. You might even need to print that out and put it on a plaque somewhere when they admit it. Tell folks, too, of course, they can check you out. Well, I said they can look at you on TV for Capital Journal. How do they catch that?
Absolutely. Capital Journal, you know, we're out of session, so it's weekly. Our show airs Fridays and Sundays. You can always go back and watch that on YouTube. We had a really good show this past weekend. Good stuff that you'll want to check out. And yes, you can always get the daily news. The email is free. Just go to aldailynews.com, enter your name and your email, and you'll be on the list. And I try to keep my Auburn rants to Twitter and your radio show, Sean. I don't do much in the newsletter, so that's good.
Good stuff, Todd. You got something to rant about this week for sure. We'll talk next week.
All right, Sean, be good.
All right, there goes Todd, and we'll be right back.
RG News 5, I'm Devin Walsh.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Okay, 1223 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Speaking of turnout, too, big thank you for the turnout at the Outdoor Expo, G&D Farms Outdoor Expo Year 2. Out of the grounds, great seeing everybody Friday and Saturday. And my man Mike Ward and Celeste from the station here, you know, all over it yesterday. So a big thank you to them, but great to see so many of y'all out there over the 2 days. Let's see, we'll get to some text here. Also a reminder, Ivan Maisel joining me a little after 1 o'clock on the show today. Jim in Georgetown, to every, and I hear you, Jim, but Jim says, to everyone complaining about the bad ref calls, I have one thing to say. Welcome to the Crimson Tide's world. Suck it up, buttercup. Absolutely, Jim. It's happened. But that, it was just, I mean, when it's so bad, you're like, you could even hear in the play-by-play, they're like, I don't know what's happening here. And then for the, if y'all didn't hear this, so the SEC comes out and puts this out. Now, there were other bad calls you could say in that game, but they said, in Saturday's Auburn at Oklahoma football game, with 10 minutes and 50 seconds remaining in the second quarter, a pass that was thrown to Oklahoma, number five, resulting in a touchdown. Oklahoma, number five, participated in the previous play, which was a first down play from the 22-yard line. After the first down play was completed, Oklahoma, number five, continued towards its team's sideline, but just stopped before reaching the Oklahoma sideline. NCAA football rule, I don't know, something 9-2, Article 2, oh yeah, my favorite, is labeled unfair tactics. And here's what it says in the, here's the wording. It said, no simulated replacements or substitutions may be issued to confuse opponents, nor no tactic associated with substitutes or substitution process may be used to confuse opponents. This includes any hideout tactic with or without a substitution. Now, we did the hideout tactic a lot when we played backyard football. You'd like have somebody go walk around. They'd be like over there behind the swing set. And they just lob that pass and they come, bingo, they're out behind, you know, they come from behind the swing set, boom, catch the touchdown pass. We did some of that. It goes on the SEC's letter here, or post on Twitter, said the officiating crew did not properly interpret the action as a hideout tactic. If properly officiated, the second down play should have resulted in a team unsportsmanlike conduct penalty of 15 yards assessed from the previous spot. Appropriate accountability will be applied without additional comment. I need to save that one. Appropriate accountability will be applied without additional comment. All right, some more of the text here. David said, I'm predicting a Spiro win with 14% turnout. I don't know that I disagree with you, David. What have we got in the last? We'll be at the, we often do not break 20% around here in runoffs. I think, David, you may be proven to be spot on there. Let me just for the fun of just being, because I can't stand everybody agreeing, it's going to be 16% turnout. Needs to be a lot more. Okay? Need to have turnout tomorrow. And reminder, too, obviously, any of y'all that voted in August, you got to turn back out tomorrow. But also know this, because I think it gets in people's mind because of in partisan races and those things. Even if you did, you're a registered voter in the city of Mobile, even if you didn't vote back in August, you can come out and vote tomorrow. Okay, as long as you're a registered voter, whatever. Whatever happens, something, dog ate your homework, whatever. You couldn't come out back in August. You can come out tomorrow. Even if you didn't vote in the initial municipal election, you can come out in the runoff tomorrow. And so spread the word on that. You may have people that say, oh, well, I can't go back out because I didn't show, I can't come out because I didn't show up in August. Indeed, you can. Squirrel Vereen said, conservative or phony conservatives will learn and pay the price of inaction. Is that about the municipal race? Squirrel Vereen, give me some more meat to that. Let's see. Chad says, so where do we draw the line when it comes to trick plays? Are we not allowed to do flea flickers anymore? Are we not allowed to fake a handoff to a running back and then throw it? I mean, come on. So, Chad, the only thing I would look at here is looking at this mea culpa from the SEC over on Twitter, and I'm sure it's posted elsewhere. They said it was very specific to the substitution. So the fake play, the hideout substitution, they were very specific. It's like the, oh, I'm over on the sideline, I'm hanging out with the coaches. No, really, I'm still in the play. They were specific to that. So it didn't say no Statue of Liberty, classic play from backyard football. But it will be, so you could do, I think it will not affect a flea flicker or a fake handoff, but it will affect the I'm hiding out over on the sideline. Now David says, you think 16% is too high for a turnout? Heck, 14% may be too high. Okay. But I erred to disagree with you. I erred to the positive. And hopefully tomorrow will be higher than both. Now, I mean, if I was calling Vegas and putting money on something, or wherever you put those kind of bets, do they take that in Vegas? wherever you call for political bets, I probably wouldn't take that bet at 16%, but we could hope. We'd be aspirational and hope. And once again, even if you didn't vote in August, something happened. As long as you're a registered voter, City of Mobile, you can come out for the runoff tomorrow. Talk more about that and a whole basket full of other stories when we come back at 343-0106. It's Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Monday. Time to check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars, local dealer, been doing it for decades. He'll get mad how many decades, I won't tell you, but he's been doing it for a long time. It's a guy I deal with, and David, it's important to deal with somebody you know, because if you don't, who do you go back to and say, hey, I got a problem?
Exactly. You know, and I say this a lot. I mean, I tell people, you know, you walk in my office, come to my place. I'm my first door on the right when you walk in the building, and you can get your hands around my throat. You know, I'm there to answer questions, help you if you have a problem. I mean, and there's stuff that happens. I mean, people have problems. But, I mean, dealing with somebody this morning, they called, wanted to know if I could help them check their car out. And I said, well, what's going on with it? She said, well, I bought it from, and it's a big box store, you know. And I didn't want to be bothered with a salesperson. And I didn't want to, it's supposed to be easy. And it's that and the other. Well, you know, it may seem easy in the beginning. But in the long run, it may not be. I mean, who do you call if you have a problem? You know, there's a 1-800 number. You know, if you have a problem with me, you've got my cell phone number. It's on my card. It's just people are going and buying things, and they think they're getting a better deal, and they're not having to be harassed. I mean, a salesperson can be your friend. I know some of them are a little aggressive. But the majority of them, and the guys that work for me, they can be your friend, and they can be your advocate, and they can help you in the long run. You've got to think about what you're doing and where you're spending your money. You need to keep it local, in my personal opinion, you know?
I can vouch for that with LCM. I mean, it's a pretty laid-back group of folks there. So, and then you got somebody to talk to, too. Yeah, you know their address, you know their phone number, you know their face, you know their name.
Yeah, this particular person is going to take this car back because they had a 7-day window or something. It's not a lemon law or anything like that, but they had a 7-day return policy. I don't know what it's going to cost her when she takes it back. But we've got a car that's 4 years newer, less miles, going to have more warranty, and the payment's going to be the same with the same down payment. So, you know, you at least have to ask us.
Yeah, for sure. Tell them how to find you so they can ask you.
We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. You can give us a call at 251-375-0068. Go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com, and don't forget, if you go to the website and you don't see what you're looking for, call us. We could have it on the way, or we'll find exactly what you want and get it on the way.
Good stuff, David. We'll talk soon.
Have a good day, bud.
Hey, you too. There goes David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars. Let's get to just a couple more texts here. Now, and then, not that we won't get to more texts in a little bit, but I want to run a story here. Let's see. Yeah, this one made me laugh from my friend C.B. Carl, who I saw at the Outdoor Expo. Good to see you and the missus. Said a statement from the SEC shows how, quote, word salad, end quote, has become mainstream, even though I tried to give it my, quote, unconditional positive regard, end quote. That's funny, C.B. Carl. That's good. Let's see. This from Jerry in Fort Borken. Did they outlaw the Jerry Duncan tackle eligible pass and then made a new rule in the NFL in honor of the snake? Oh, they did outlaw the Jerry Duncan tackle eligible pass and then made a new rule in the NFL in honor of the snake. Let's see. Ultra Runner said, I'm going out on a limb and predicting a 17% turnout. Paying vote shift $249,000 must be worth a few points. It sure did for Woodfin. Yep. We'll see. Let's see. This unnamed texter says, come on, Mobile. Y'all better not put mean Maxine Drummond in there tomorrow. Wake up. And then, David, here we go. Alabama fans complain about bad calls all the time. And when Saban was around, got all the favorable calls. Auburn doesn't complain and gets all the bad calls. Some of them you see through, and even, I mean, my personality even goes through into my fan world. Like, I try to make sure when I'm complaining about a call against the Tide that I go back and watch the replay. I'm like, am I really, you know, am I seeing it through crimson glasses or not? But I was watching this for Auburn and went back and I'm like, yeah, that's wrong. It was a bad, really bad call. Speaking of politics in Alabama, not just for tomorrow with municipal races, I know there's more to talk about. This one here left me kind of slack-jawed, and it actually lands right here in AL2, okay, in the newly drawn, super gerrymandered AL2. So this is from Yellowhammer, but it shows up elsewhere. I mean, obviously, this is going to come from a right-leaning publication, but I can go find you the story elsewhere. This one was just up. It says, Alabama's two Democrats in Washington, U.S. Representatives Terry Sewell and Shamari Figgers, joined 58 House Democrats in voting against Speaker Mike Johnson's resolution honoring the life and legacy of conservative political activist and Turning Point USA co-founder Charlie Kirk, who was assassinated at the Utah Valley University last week. In a bipartisan 310-58 vote. Let's get facts here. So both Sewell and Figgers voted no. But in a bipartisan 310-58 vote, the House adopted the resolution, 38 Democrats voting present. While most Democratic leaders in the lower chamber supported the resolution, okay? Most Democrat leaders in the House supported the resolution. Here's the name of the people who did not. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Representative Rashida Tlaib, Representative Ilhan Omar, Representative Yasmin Crockett, Representative Ayanna Pressley, Representative Maxine Waters, and then Shamari Figgers and Terry Sewell. Now, you know, there's different kind. There are states where we've talked about this on the conservative side, and it's happened a lot of times when there were some Republicans winning in places that they, you know, like in a Massachusetts or something like that. And I said, and they said, well, that person's really, you know, I looked at their record and they're not as conservative. I said, okay. A Republican to get elected in a purple state is probably not going to be as red in rhetoric as one in a solidly red state. I mean, it just makes sense. Well, and let's flip that around. You have, once again, 310-58 vote in the House. You have most Democrats in the House supported the resolution to honor the life and legacy of Charlie Kirk. I just gave you the list of others that are really the left edge of the Democrats. Add into that our two Democrat representatives out of the seven in a state of Alabama that I'm going to tell you is not a hard blue state. It just stands out to me. Hopefully I can get representative Figgers on the show and we'll reach out and see if we get it. Because I'm interested. That's not a policy vote. That's not one specific to the strength of Democrats in the next election cycle. But here in Alabama, they voted with the left of the left. I just think it stands out. You would wonder if it's flipped around and you're looking at a state where you had, let's say it's a purple state. No. Let's flip it around and make it it's a blue state. But somehow, there are a couple of districts. California is an example. Okay, California is an example. There are a few places where Republicans win in California. It's not everybody. Not every district is Democrat. And if that happened, you don't think the Republicans would vote with something like that if it flipped around. But here in Alabama, does that stand out? I think that's it is one to watch here. Butterknife says, I saw Charlie Kirk comment. if he got on an airplane, the pilots were black. Yeah, so I went through and read that. Well, let me read. I'll finish this and I'll read. Because I went and when I saw that too first, butter knife, I went, doesn't sound like something I want to endorse. He said he would wonder if they were qualified to fly his plane. I know that that's not him being racist. That's deferring or that's referring to DEI hires. Is nepotism the same thing as DEI? We see people get into Yale because of who their families are. We see lawyers get into Alabama because of who their families are. Are those DEI lawyers same? Are those DEI lawyers same with Auburn Vet School? If you're not someone born beautiful with genetics of a pretty young lady, you cannot be a Fox News host. Well, that's now there's a few uglies, but they try to keep them, you know, at night like Gutfeld, which he does pretty well. But good, I'm glad you, because that one was thrown out there too. And I, you know, I recoiled from that when they said, oh, Kirk made this comment about if the pilot was black. And then you go look at it in context and go, okay, he wouldn't be the bigot. But if you take it out of context, absolutely, it sounds bigoted. Tim says, Sean, that was definitely a blown call in the Auburn game, but you don't ever want to let, oh my gosh, you sound like my coach in high school. Sean, that definitely was a blown call in the Auburn game, but you don't ever want to let yourself be at the mercy of an official. It's kind of the rub of the game, but I would have a meeting with that group and talk about ways I can stop stuff like that from happening, or I'd put them on the road, maybe not three strikes, maybe two strikes, and you're out. Tim, you sound like my, if we ever went in the locker room and complained about a call, he said, well, you shouldn't have been in that position, should you? You just brought back memories from 40-something years ago. The texter says Barbara Drummond and Shamari Figgers, what a dynamic duo of stupidity. Now, I don't, I would say bad judgment. I don't think, and Shamari Figgers has been on a guest on the show. Representative has been on a guest on the show before. I think he's a smart guy. I don't understand why he did that. Where, who was he trying to serve with that? Unnamed texter here. This is Spyro. Okay, thank you. Said Sean, disability, no matter your political views, there is a special place in Hades for those individuals who did not want to vote to have Charlie Kirk's memory as a legacy. Yes, there's that part of it, but even take it into a pragmatic world, right? Pragmatically. I've asked this about Governor Ivey and voting against the veterans so many times, right? I've gone on and on and on about this. Even if you didn't have a heart for our veterans, if you just made it as a politically calculated decision, would you stand against veterans in the state of Alabama? 400,000 plus, and we start magnifying it by their families. We're looking at pushing a million people. This is the same thing. If your figures are Sewell and you're in Alabama, why would you go there with that vote? What is that? What's that going to do? I mean, it was not anything on policy. It was nothing that was going to make a difference for Democrats, like some policy issue or whatever. It's the idea that we're going to do that in a, like, once again, just flip it around your mind. Say it's California, it's Republican. And there's something that's similar, but on the other side of the aisle. How do you think they would have voted? All right, coming right back, more of Midday Mobile, 343-0106 for a phone call or text. And also with the FM Talk 106.5 app, you can always leave us one of those talkback messages.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:52, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Monday, 343-0106, 343-0106 to get us through on a phone call or text line, and also with the FM Talk 106.5 app. You can always leave us one of those talkback messages. If you don't have the app yet, let's remedy that. It's free. It's waiting for you. If you're an iOS user, go to your whatever, the App Store. If you're just a hip Android user like me, go to Google Play. In both places, just look for our name, FMTALK1065. Right? And you'll see the logo. That's us. You download the app right there. You listen to the station. You could get downloads of that's the first place our podcast posts. You can get show schedules there. You get all our social media feeds combined in one place with all the breaking news, all that stuff. One app, the FM Talk 106.5 app, and go grab it today. All right, get a few texts here, and then we got to get in some the TikTok news, the never-ending saga of TikTok. Well, maybe ending. We'll see. To the text line here, Butterknife clarifies and says that Republicans made a politically calculated decision to stand with the governor against veterans, so why is it hard to see Democrats who do not vote for Charlie Kirk? They all didn't, though. I'm saying, Butterknife, why would they from our state when so many, I mean, once again, it wasn't like, I mean, there were, let's see, most Democrats in the House voted for the measure. Most, the majority. It was a 310 to 58 vote. There were only 58 no's in that. And out of that 58, both of our Democrat members of Congress voted no. I just think the calculus of it doesn't make any sense to me. Says to Terry, says the Democrat delegation of Alabama voted accordingly to their puppet masters in D.C. They don't listen to voters. They dance to the squad fiddle. Imagine they will say they base their vote on information from the racial propaganda machine, the SPLC. I just, in this one, I mean, once again, there's idealism and there's pragmatism. And pragmatically, if I'm representing the state of Alabama, and this is not like a vote that gets a Democrat proposal through, I mean, it's a vote to honor a legacy kind of thing. The majority of Democrats voted for it, but, and they could come from all other kind of states, but neither of ours did. DEI Texter said, expecting figures in Sewell to honor Charlie Kirk would be akin to expecting Republicans to honor Rachel Maddow. Never going to happen. Don't know. I don't know that those are, I don't know those are equivalents. You prove to me that that's an equivalent. I don't think they are. Let's see. And back with Butterknife said, I do not believe Charlie Kirk was racist, but Charlie Kirk didn't make the assumption. This might be a voice attack. Didn't make the assumption if I had black pilots, they must be DEI higher off bias he had towards black people. Maybe. I told you, Butterknife, though, when I first saw that comment, I said, ooh, man, that looks. So I tell y'all to do for everything. You go and try to look at things in context. Unnamed Texter, which, by the way, somebody suggested that on Friday's show. We got to get to the. If we had a T-shirt department here at FM Talk 106.5, I'm thinking look good. A T-shirt that just says Unnamed Texter. Unnamed Texter, hey, WKRG. And I don't know if you, are you wanting me to announce this for WKRG? Because I'm, you know, we're a separate company. Like, we get local news from them, but we're not, just making sure you know. WKRG, you must love old Barbara. I've seen her commercial 20 times to one or two for Spiro in the last 2 hours. Let's go Spiro. You understand that they don't play commercials by what they want. They play commercials based on the advertising buys that they have. Like, they don't, we don't sit and decide we're going to run, like, oh, we should run some more of those. It's by what they buy. You do realize that, right? Just making sure. Unnamed, man, we are, oh, it's Cato of the Causeway. Cool. All right, Cato of the Causeway. Sean, I hate to say you're wrong, but you're wrong. Good, okay. Figures in Sewell don't run statewide. They run in their districts, and those districts are so gerrymandered the Republicans have no chance of beating them. Okay, but also you probably have aspirations going forward, don't you? If it was a policy, like, you know, Democrats are pushing such and such bill or something like that, I see where the brakes come. They do that. This one was almost like it's not a point of order. Like, it wasn't like a, but it was compared to like the bipartisan politics of policy, it was innocuous in Washington. All right. Let's see. people talking about advertising thing. A DEI texter says, this is, I mean, obviously, this is trying to be inflammatory. That's fine. DEI texter said, Kirk was a podcaster, nothing more. Okay. In your opinion, which is a beautiful thing. You got the right to your opinion. There's what the numbers came in. 80 million watched that thing over the weekend. There were, what, 70-something thousand at it in person? I think your opinion here is not representing the majority, for sure. All right, coming back, hour number two of Midday Mobile. I mentioned I get to see this guy again. It's been years. Ivan Maisel joining me. He's got a new book out we're going to talk about. I'm going to throw a curve into that. I'm going to admit something that may shock people here when I talk to Ivan. Shocking admission by me. Prepare yourselves. And really, the reality is we get to talk to Ivan coming up next.